You are now listening to the CRC podcast, brought to you by Pastor At Bosif. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
Take your seats this morning in heavenly places. Open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 17. And I am excited about what is ahead of us. I know there are great challenges, but I know there are great glory as well. And I believe the Bible, come on, look alive this morning, that the glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the former house. And those of you that are worshippers of God, you are going to see God's full restoration. You know, God's not going to change His version for our version. We're not in a courtroom where God has to be decided upon by a judge or a jury that He is God and that His church is still His plan for the salvation of mankind. So while the court is out and people are sitting in their homes, and I'm grateful that you're watching this morning, but some of you just have to get yourself out of your newfound religion and get yourself back in the house of God. Get yourself back into the house of God. Get yourself back in the house of God in Jesus' name. I heard somebody say that they're tired of this hearing about we are yet to win souls. They want the deeper things of God. And when Isaiah got right in the presence of God, that's all God spoke to him about. And the only reason Jesus came was to seek and save the lost. And the last words of Jesus was, go into all the worlds and preach the gospel to every lost creature. And the only reason why God hasn't come back yet is not so that you can grow deeper, is so that you could reach a world for Jesus Christ. So let's just get our doctrine sorted out. Because I think this COVID has got a lot of people into a receptive mode. And that is, it borders on a deceptive mode. Because Jesus said what? Follow me and I will make you what? Fishers of men. Not citizen soakers. So let me get into the message this morning. Luke chapter 17 verse 11. It happened as he, Jesus, went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a certain village, they met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So it wasn't a quiet service, okay? So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, everybody say one of them. No, I said everybody say one of them. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were they not 10 cleansed? Where's the other 9? Were there not any found who return to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. My message this morning, very simply in a couple of moments, is one returned. Our text in verse 17 and 18. So Jesus answered and said to them, were they not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? It's like the expression of Jesus is like looking at his church, looking at people and saying, what? When you were in need, you came running for me to touch you, to heal you, to save you, to bless you, to deliver you, to give you a child. But now that I met your need, is it so quick for you to forget and to return to worship me? You know, the Bible talks about the last days. It says that the love of many will wax cold. It's in the Bible, before the return of Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Bible talks about we should not be discouraged about coming together and listen to all the letters and the rumors and the reports today that would be CNN. You can go study it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He says, but first there is going to be a great falling away, known as the great apostasy. A great falling away where many people's love will grow cold, where they will change their format, and they will stop returning to worship Him. Now, obviously you're here this morning because God did something great in your life at some time. Can you say amen and give him a praise offering? Come on there in television land as well. Oh, you can give him a bigger praise than that in Jesus' name. And obviously you are here today because you still have a challenge somewhere in your life. Is that right? Amen, amen, amen. And the reason we return to church every Sunday, the reason why we give our tithes and our offerings when God blesses us every month with our salaries, the reason why we worship God is so that we can remember. I mean, Jesus is quite shocked. He has 10 people that stand up and they all cry out. They, in a revival meeting, they need God to do something for them. And he says, go your way. And as they go, acting on the word of God, they were cleansed, the Bible says. The one who returned, listen now, is the one who experienced full restoration. Now, if you understand leprosy, leprosy causes bruising and causes then parts of the body to rot and eventually fall off. So those 10 people, maybe some of them lost their fingers, their toes, some of their limbs, etc. And as they acted on the word of God, the leprosy left them. They were cleansed, but they were not healed. A lot of us, God brought peace to us, but we've not experienced his total restoration. Amen. You still need God to do something with your life. You're okay, but you're not that okay, okay? You are there, but you're not quite there. Come on, God's opened a door, but you've not walked through the door again. And I want to tell you this morning, one of the keys for you is that you will return week after week, after week, after week, after week, and you will worship God. Because the one who returned, not just the one who cried out when he had a need, but the one who kept on coming back 20 years later, 30 years later, 40 years later, still went to the house of God, still brought his tithe and his offering, had the blessing of God and the restoration of God in his life, because he's the one who never forgot. Not only did he glorify God or go to the meeting because he had a need, he glorified God and he worshiped God. See the difference? When God touched him, he came and bowed before Jesus. When God met his need, he came and worshiped God. And what did God say? Because worship brings heaven's atmosphere to the earth. And God said, okay, where are the other? You're a Samaritan. You're not even a Jew. You don't even have a portion to the covenant. But your worship is what attracts me to you. So not only am I going to cleanse you, I'm going to heal you and I'm going to restore you. And that man was healed. His limbs grew back. Come on. His finances was restored. His marriage was healed. Your husband came back to Christ. Oh, come on, it's a year of divine restoration and a year of divine recovery. And God said to me, one of the keys is that we have to worship him like we've never worshipped him. Come on, CRC, all over South Africa, whoever you are, give the Lord the biggest praise offering that you can this morning. In front of your television as well. So you know, there's a lot of pastors who still have their churches closed, and I don't criticize them. Look, my personality is maybe not what everybody thinks is suitable to be a pastor, but I spoke to a leader of one of the big churches in Pretoria. I said, hey, how's it going? Your church open? He said, no. I said, why? He said, no, our approach is very conservative, and we're into saving lives. I said, okay, now let's talk about that. Because people die every day, people die every year. So as you can see, we sanitize, we social distance. We had the Department of Health here last week, and they sent a message afterward to say, Pastor, we don't want to fight you. We want to work with you. We want to make sure that your church can open safely and responsibly. Amen. Give the Lord a praise for that. Hallelujah. And they said, because of our stance, now listen, because of your bold stance, we are using you as a prototype to see how churches can be open safely and responsibly. But let me tell you, if we kept closed and sat in a corner hiding, it would not be, because we are not fighting this for ourselves. We are fighting this for the kingdom of God and for the glory of God and for the future of those that are lost and backslidden. People that have grown cold have to get back in the house of God. Listen to me. People that have been cold, you have to get back to the place of worship. Stop justifying your way as the way. The way is Jesus Christ, and he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. said, we're into saving people's lives. I said, so am I. I said, this last Sunday between Blivina and Pretoria, almost 800 people got saved. What says thou about that? He said, well, I don't have to say anything about it. You know why? Because we are so caught up in this lie of sitting in a place that we forget about the greatest purpose of God, and that is to seek and save the lost. That the church is there to plunder hell and populate heaven, not just to sit and soak and preserve our lives. God never called us to preserve. God called us to plunder hell and populate. Oh, come on, CRC, in Jesus' name. So you're afraid to come to church. Check your temperature, man, because you're not afraid. I said to him, and you're in gym this morning. I said, you're in gym. You're not making anybody safe. You're in gym. He said, but I'm not in control of the gym. I said, well, people decide whether they come to church as well. We force nobody to come to church. I said, do you go to a restaurant? He said, of course I go to a restaurant. I said, and you don't want to open the church and allow people to come feed spiritually. Now, I know some people will get mad, and preachers especially, watching me on TV. I don't criticize anyone by name. But open your church, man. Open your church. Get people back in the house of God. Give people the right to worship God, to express their worship to God. Come on. The church cannot be led by leaders who are afraid. When God delivered Israel from the Midianites, and Gideon gathered 32,000 people, the first thing God said, tell those who are fearful and afraid, I can't win any battle with them. Send them home. 22,000 left. Warriors. My greatest challenge in this time is to convince pastors on Zoom meetings to be unafraid. Like people want to fight you for the right to be afraid. I know I'm offending people, but somebody has to hear it. Because you're afraid, because you're over 60. Look how many over 60 years old are you. As a matter of fact, when we opened the church, the first people that came to church were the older people, okay? I'm not saying older, the more mature people, okay? Because I'm almost there, all right? They were the ones. Why? Because you have a relationship. You know, we got saved 40 years ago, 30 years ago. Nobody can take that away from us. We're not a fickle generation. One day we love God, the next way we don't love God. We know what God has done for us. We know what God has done for our children. We know how God saved this country. That's why we will always return, and we will always give thanks, and we will also worship God. And the day we have to go out of this earth, whether it's COVID or any other sickness or disease, we are going to go out in a blaze of glory. We're not going to leave this world afraid and ice cold. We're going to be busy preaching the gospel, plundering hell and populating heaven. Can I have a radical Christian shout amen, hallelujah, glory to God, or whatever? You know, our television audience has increased millions and millions and millions, literally in this lockdown. It's not the issue. Our church is in South Africa. I mean, we were over-indicted with people from Pakistan and India. I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds in the first week of broadcast, like pastors that are just so taken by the ministry that's now broadcast on Praise TV all over India and all over Pakistan, because people want the truth. People want the gospel. People don't want to hear fearful Christianity. People want to hear fearless Christianity. Come on, CRC in Jesus' name. So you make up your mind to be the one who returns. Even if your wife wants to stay in bed, you return. Don't tell me you serve God flipping through the Christian channels. You be the one who remembers. 20 years ago, God gave me a business when I had nothing. Now you make billions and your tithe is now too big. Must God take you back to the place where you could honor Him with your tithe, when it wasn't a problem, when you didn't have a tax problem? It's like people, when they're nothing, they ask God, make me somebody, use me. And the minute God blesses them, the blessing becomes too big. I'm too busy, Pastor. I can't come to church, Pastor. I just married a brand new wife, Pastor. We just had a baby. Well, 9 years you trusted God for a baby. Now you have a baby and you want to tell me your baby is going to keep you out of church? You better raise your child in the house of God. You had no business. Now God's given you a business. And now when it comes to honoring God with your tithe, that thou shalt remember, it is the Lord thy God that gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant. Suddenly the amount is too big. But you, when you earned a salary, it wasn't too big. You prayed in a meeting one day. You said, God made me a financial channel. God heard your prayer and he blessed you. And now you wheel and deal. Now I've become a selective tither. A selective church goer. I know I'm getting in your nostril, whatever you want to call it, because I'm preparing the church for revival. And you're not going to get revival where people are lukewarm. You're not going to get revival where people are undecided. Let the lukewarm ones stay at home and let the on fire Christians gather together. Then I want to tell you, my brother and my sister, the fire of God is going to fall, and those who are cold are going to run out of their cold and they're going to come to the fire. But God cannot start a fire where people are undecided and lukewarm and mediocre in their worship of God. You be the one that's fully committed. You know, I was thinking about the parable of the sower, Mark chapter 4, Matthew chapter 13. And it's the same sower, the same seed, and it's the soil that determines four categories of people. And even in the final category, those who are committed, 25%, they yield differently, not by God's design, but by their choice. 30, 60, 100. So Jesus says, this is how the kingdom is. That's why he says in Matthew 24, he who endures to the end shall be saved. Not he who waters down Christianity. I mean, we saw that last week where Jesus said, I would rather have you cold or hot. I think we're all the same, right? Lukewarm is like a lukewarm beer. Not that you drink beer. I get it. Lukewarm salt water. I went to Mauritius once in the summer and the water was lukewarm. It was like yuck. I can't get cold. I can't cool off. It's yuck. Yuck. Rather cold or hot. I don't want lukewarm coffee. If my staff brings me lukewarm coffee, I say, take it back. I don't want to drink lukewarm coffee. Thank you. Either iced tea or hot. Right? You don't want a lukewarm relationship. Amen. You don't want a lukewarm kiss. Amen. You don't want a lukewarm hug. Amen. Come on. Let's put it in your terms. You don't want a lukewarm anything in your life. But we want to give Jesus this laid back version of him calling us, and the scriptures are no longer the determining factor. The culture of society, Paul addresses it in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He talks about the culture of society in the last day that will have no reverence or respect for God. And one of the key signs of that is people become unthankful. And really, unthankfulness, one of the symptoms is an attitude of, obviously, ingratitude, but also entitlement. When you started the job, you were grateful, but now you complain that you're not being paid enough. When you joined the church, it was just everything for you. Now the pastor's teachings aren't deep enough. Nothing changed, Jack. You changed. You became lukewarm. You, the receptor, changed. Nothing else changed. The presence of God is still in the place. People's lives are still being changed. You changed, my brother, my sister. You better get back into the presence of God. And one of the continual things we do is not to be sin conscious, but to live a life of repentance, where we conform to him and we fit in with him. There's no scripture in the Bible that says, oh my word, God sitting in heaven, he says, Gabriel, Michael, we better have a conference. Father God, Holy Spirit, we better have a conference. I didn't know there was going to be a COVID crisis in the world. I mean, the flu pandemic of 1918 to 1920 was much greater. 40 million people died in 3 years. Listen to me clearly. The bubonic plague killed 40% of the European population and Northern African population. And nobody had social media to say this is God's reset button of restructuring the church. Now suddenly everybody wants to put God in the middle of this pandemic. That God is resetting the church. No, no. Your faith is being tested. Your love for God is being tested. Your commitment for God is being tested. Your zeal for God and the things of God is what is being tested. Your level of faith and your passion for God and for the lost is what's being tested. Because that's what this trial is doing. It's lifting that which is in you to the surface. Undecided, mediocre, lukewarm people will not change the world. And I bump into many Christians that don't really want to bump into me that talk about a new way. I say, what's that way? Oh, no, Pastor, we just lie in bed and we watch you. I say, I want to puke. Do you mean this COVID has now decided your level of worship? Your style? I know I'm talking to the converted, but there's millions there in TV land that need to hear this. Because I'm not going to play to the audience like every other preacher. Get yourself out of your bed, out of your laziness. Get yourself back in the house of God. Get yourself back in the presence of God. If you want to see God's full restoration in your life, you get yourself back to God. You humble yourself and you get yourself back to God in Jesus' name. Never saw God do anything when we're comfortable. So maybe you feel this morning you don't have anything to be grateful for. Maybe you feel this morning that, and you are going through real challenges, and I acknowledge that. The hurt is real. The pain is real. Even more, you have to bring your worship to God. You have to bring yourself and present yourself as a living sacrifice. Not as a dead fish in your bed. It's a living sacrifice. Amen. Get yourself in His presence. I mean, if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, if you are born again this morning, you are heaven bound. You have reason to praise God. Come on, if that's you this morning, you know you're born again, jump to your feet in front of your home and give the Lord a praise offering. Hallelujah. Oh, so those of you that are sitting so comfortable, you obviously have forgotten. If you have food in your refrigerator, listen. Clothes on your back, a roof overhead, and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of the world population. If you earn more than 4,500 rand per month, you are more blessed than 70% of the world population. 70% earn less than 4,500 rand a month. God's given you businesses. God's given you farms. God's given you authority. God's blessed you, blessed you, blessed you, blessed you, blessed you. And you just can't find the time to return to worship. What's up with you? That's what Jesus says. What's up with the other nine? Where are they? What's up? I touched you. I blessed you, him. But it's only your friend that returns, the Samaritan. It's the one who has nothing that honors God with a very little, like the woman with the two mites. But you that are blessed sovereignly by God when it comes to your money, you can't honor him. What's up? Where's the other nine? Where's your offering? Where's your worship? Your seat has been empty for 15 months. I know you didn't buy the seat, but there's a seat for you. If you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you are more blessed than the 1.1 million people who will die this week. If you've never experienced danger in a war, loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, or pains of starvation, you are ahead of 2 billion people in the world. If you can attend church meetings without fear of harassment, okay, we're not afraid, but we still might be harassed. Arrest, torture, death, you are more blessed than 4 billion people in South Africa, and may our government have the sense to allow the church to worship Jesus Christ. May the government not be heavy-handed and heavy-fisted with the Church of Jesus Christ in South Africa, because it's the church that led the fight against apartheid and against the struggle. That's why church can never become optional. It's who we are. It's a way of life. If you have a job in South Africa, you're more blessed than 32.8% people that are looking for jobs that are unemployed. Statistics are actually higher than that. If you can hear me this morning, see me, you have reason to return and give thanks. If you have two legs, you know, we all sometimes think, I have no reason to be thankful for, then I just think about other people's challenges. I ate with somebody the other day in a wheelchair. He was, one of the greatest rugby players this country ever saw, and then he had a little virus attack him, a flu virus, left him paralyzed. One of my great friends, somebody I honors, he's always helping other people, always busy helping other people on foundations, etc., even sitting in a wheelchair. And I walked with him through that battle, and I think often, you know, not criticizing other people, but he's sitting there in the church in Bloemfontein this morning, next to him, Jared, that was a Springbok gymnast who went, engaged to be married, as we were young people, and young people still are, dove off something and hit his head against a bank under the water, paralyzed him, head down. Every Sunday in church, every Sunday worshiping God on his wheelchair, and every day he has to go for rehabilitation, and he was paralyzed from his neck down. Now he can use his arms, and he's sitting on that wheelchair in the back of that church in the north of Bloemfontein. He praises God, and I think sometimes, God help us, God help us. We have two legs, we have two arms, we have a voice. We have so much to be thankful for. We can walk where we want to be. You can be intimate with your wife when you want to be. These people have lost that. They've lost everything. And you look at yourself as if you have no reason to give God thanks. Come on, get up on your feet this morning and give the Lord a bit of praise. Have some dignity and some respect. And give the Lord God that has been good and merciful to you some praise and some worship in the name of Jesus Christ. Be the one who remembers and be the one who returns. Be the one who magnifies and be the one who tells your story. Be the one who never forgets the things that God has done for you in Jesus' name. Because that's when this relationship becomes a religion. When you stop worshiping, when you stop returning, when you stop remembering, when you stop praising, when you stop giving thanks, that's when this becomes a religion. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18, in everything be thankful. There's always a silver lining behind every cloud. There's always good in a bad situation. There's always the fingerprints of God, no matter what you find or where you are. You don't get stuck in that one place of ingratitude, gripped by the fear and the sentiment of the spirit of this age. No. You're a child of God. You're heaven bound. You are different. Bible says we don't fear those who can take our lives. We don't allow anyone to intimidate us and threaten us. We fear the living God righteously. We stand in awe of the living God, and one day we will stand before Him. That's why nobody will take our worship. Nobody will steal our praise from this God who is an awesome God. Someone shout amen in Jesus' name. Psalm 100 verse 4, the Bible says, enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 34, oh, give thanks to the Lord for His good, for His mercy endures forever. Let's not forget. Let's not bow down to the graven image of this world. Let's not distort, listen, our worship of God. Because this is what the age of the world dictates, that everything has to change. Really? Because of social media, our worship has to change? We use social media, but there's no substitute for the believers that comes together and we worship God, because God inhabits the praises of His people. And the church, Ephesians 2 verse 2 says, is the dwelling place of the Holy Ghost. This is something that will be part of your Christian journey and experience until Jesus Christ comes back. That's it. You return every Sunday. You find a church where the fire of God is. You get yourself out next Sunday. Put on your best clothes and get yourself into the presence of God and return and worship God and watch what God is going to do in your life in Jesus' name. Let's not have a short memory, a selective memory. Like Israel, when Moses went into the presence of God, there was a little bit of delay. He stayed a little bit longer. One of the craziest stories in the Bible. And yes, Aaron and the people come and say, let's make another God. Listen, image. And let's say this is the God who brought us out of Egypt. And they turn the image of God into a distorted golden calf. They make it. That's what religion does. That's what the media is doing very, very systematically through the spirit of fear, distorting the image of Christianity, the way we worship. And they bow before this. People bring their gold and their earrings, which represents the world system, and they make this calf. I mean, later on when Moses confronts Aaron as the high priest, he says, what the heck did you do, bro, brother? He says, oh no, we threw the gold in the fire and out jumped this calf. That's where you are. Out jumped this COVID, and this COVID suddenly determined my level of worship and the way I will serve God. Out jumped this calf. No. Nothing jumped out. Your heart became cold and lukewarm. And you want to see restoration in your life, you have to return. You have to be the one who returns. I mean, I love God. God and Moses, I mean, they had this interesting relationship. Go study it. And so they're busy. God says to Moses, he says, your people who you brought out of Egypt. That's like the father and the mother. You know, when I spoke to my wife, my kids were naughty, I said, yo, goodness. But when they do good, I said, make us. Marcel Estonis, I said, yo, goodness. Well, God had the same relationship with Moses. He says, your people that you brought out of Egypt. Now listen, Moses didn't bring them out. God, but God was mad with him. God says, hey, I'm going to wipe them out. Because see how they turned away from the one who brought them out of Egypt. How quickly they forgot. And yeah, they make another image. And they bow before it. And they dance and they sacrifice to that image, which is a golden calf. Nebuchadnezzar, a golden calf, a graven image that this world wants to force down the throats of Christianity, telling us this is the way we worship God. But I want to tell you, there's the remnant that will not bow to that image, that will stay on fire, that will return week after week after week, no matter what the price, and they are going to worship the living God because they have not forgotten. They are the worshipers of God. They are the ones who return. Come on, say amen and give him a praise in the name of Jesus. Let us never forget. Let us never forget. Never forget. Never forget. Never allow the pressure of this world and what the scientists of this world say and what some conferences of this world say. This is the new way of Christianity. Adbosov refuses to bow to that image that is not in the Bible. I refuse it. I'm going to worship God the way the Bible says, and I will defend the church of the Lord Jesus Christ until Jesus comes back for me. Listen. You know, when that thing, he ground, look at that good English, that calf through that dust into the water, and he made the people drink it. You're going to drink your distorted image of God. You're going to drink your lukewarmness. Humble yourself. You say, Pastor, it's a very direct word. Well, what must I do? Talk to you via Cape Town. Huh? For some of you, time is few. 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 And when you breathe out your last breath, there's not a second chance. Return. Return. God says over and over in the Bible, return to me and I'll return to you. Return. Draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. So before we leave you in the television audience, just put your hand on your heart this morning. Say it then, TV land, say it. Father, say it. Come on, with a humble heart, say, Father, I return to you. Take your rightful place in my life. I bow before you. I humble myself. I need you, Jesus. Lead me in this path of life. In Jesus' name. Let us stand here in this church this morning and sing, I'm in awe of you. No one leaving, please. Let God touch you this morning. Come on, come on, come on. Some of you are so young this morning, but return in your heart, return in your heart, return in your heart. Everywhere. You know, God, this amazing God, because he had the problem with this one generation. So the book of Deuteronomy, God, who doesn't have to repeat himself, repeats himself again and again and again and again. He says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to do this. And every time he says, don't forget me. Don't forget me. Don't forget me. Don't forget me. Why is it so difficult? Don't forget me. When you're the professor of all professors, when you've got your 10 doctorates, when you're the king, don't forget. That's why the 24 elders cast their crowns before God, because they remember. That's why a Sunday is so important that we, and I'll share those scriptures tonight, where Paul defends the gathering of the saints. And he says, before the return of the Lord Jesus, he talks about the gathering of the saints. And he says, do not be misled by voices, by letters. That would now be social media, because there wasn't social media in that day. He says, stay close. Stay in the gathering. Because before the return of, or the son of perdition is revealed, there's going to be a great apostasy. And I'm going to talk about that. Things I've never spoken about, the great apostasy. It's masses of believers that just grow cold overnight. You don't have to be one of them. Well, not even cold, lukewarm. They still think they're okay. And if I preach like this morning, they're mad with me. They don't appreciate that there's a preacher that has the spine to tell them. I'm not going to pacify you in your hope. I'm not just so that you like me more. Get back to your church, my brother. Get back to your church, my sister. Go worship the Lord. Be the one who returns. If you want to see God's restoration like that leper, then you be the one who returns. I mean, Joshua had to challenge the whole nation as well, because people were in a place of indecision. He said, hey, don't get confused and say it's the gods you served in Egypt that brought you into this promised land. But now that you're in your promised land, it's the gods around you that brought you. He said, I'm drawing the line. As for me and my house, we will serve God. That's it. As for me and my house, my children have an option. Sunday, if they were in my house, I always did, I'll kick them out of the bed. I don't ask a teenager, do you want to go to church? Do you live in my house? Even they all married out of my house. It wasn't an option. They don't lie and smell their stink toes till 10 o'clock of the morning. Get out of your bed. You're going to church with me this morning. You're going to worship God. That's how it is in my home. If you want me to pay the bills, thank you very much. Stop this stomachless Christianity. It's damaging God's kingdom. It's not enhancing the cause of Christ.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.